Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 328. We'll be reading the first six verses. We'll read the verses responsively. And the sixth verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Once more, 1 Samuel chapter 10, in your Schofield Bible, page 328, the first six verses. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they shall say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shalt there shall meet thee three men going up to God of to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." And let's pray. And Father, how good it is to be in this place tonight. Thank you that we have protection from the cold. Thank you, especially we have here within this building thy Spirit, for thou hast said where two or three are gathered in thy name that thou wouldst be in the midst of them. So we claim your presence, we claim your power, and Father, we believe that you have something of a definite nature in mind concerning the outcome of this service. We pray that you'd give us hearts that are tender and minds that are alert, that we might get what you've brought us here together for, and that thou wouldst bless and give power to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
My text tonight is the sixth verse of that chapter a while ago. You don't need to turn to it again, but I will just to read you the one verse. And this is talking about King Saul. He was being anointed by Samuel to become the king. And it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, how to become another man. You ladies can sleep through the service if you'd like. For you ladies, I'll call it how to get another man. In some cases, if you got one, it'd be the first one you ever had. But I want to talk to you tonight on how to become another man. It is said to Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and he or thou shalt be turned or changed to another man." Hope you listen carefully. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight, please. Amen. What are you doing while I'm praying? Should have prayed longer to give you a chance to get your exercise done. The scripture said that thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Now there's a misunderstanding here. Though misunderstanding does not do an injustice to the scripture. The truth is, it does not mean another man, are you listening? Another man in the place of the one you are. It means another man in addition to the one you are. When God said to Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you'll be changed to another man," It's sort of like I have a pair of shoes on, but I have another pair at home. I wore one suit last Sunday and another suit today. It does not mean that I don't have the other suit that I wore last Sunday. It means I wear another one in addition to the one that I had last week. Now, I want to make six statements and then some comments, and then I want to make eight more statements and then some comments, and then 77 statements and then some comments. Statement number one, John 3, 5, and 7 speaks of a new birth. Jesus said twice to Nicodemus that you had to be born again. One time he said that, next time, except a man be born again. So it speaks of a new birth. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it speaks of a new creature. So we have a new birth, and of course the consequent result of that is a new creature. Then Ephesians 4, 24 talks about a new man. Then 1 Samuel 10, 9 speaks of a new heart. Ezekiel 11, 19 speaks of a new spirit. And then 1 Samuel 10, 6 speaks of another man. So as I said a while ago, it's like I have another pair of shoes. It does not mean that I just have, that I traded those shoes in for this pair. It means I have one pair, I now have another pair. So there are two births, the first birth and the new birth. There are two creatures, the first creature born at the physical birth and the new creature born when you're born the second time. And there are two men, the Bible calls the old man and the new man. There are two hearts. The Bible talks about a new heart that he gave to Saul. And then there are two spirits, several times, four times, I think, in Ezekiel. God talks about a new spirit. By the way, I think I better explain to you the fact that Saul did not get rid of the old man when he got another man. In fact, this is shown later on in his life, in his reign. Saul reverted to the old man when he got jealous and tried to kill David and then chased him and became big in his own sight. So Saul did not lose the other man. He got another man in addition to the old man. Instead of changing from one man to another. Now I want to make eight statements, and about 30 minutes per statement will soon be gone. Statement number one, it does, when you get another man, and that's what you get. When you got born again, you had a new birth, and you became a new creature, and you became a new man, and you got a new heart, and you got a new spirit, and you were a new person. But it does not mean that you're transformed. Now listen carefully to this. When you got saved, you were not transformed. But the availability of transformation became yours. A lot of people get saved and their lives never change. And I've heard preachers say, well, bless God, if you really got born again, your life changed. You didn't get what I got. Now the simple truth is that we say that, we're just preaching. That is not necessarily true. The fact is that you do not necessarily get transformed when you get saved, but you get the availability of transformation. In other words, an unsaved man can't be transformed. But a saved man has the alternative to follow the old man or the new man, the old nature or the new nature, the old heart or the new heart, the old spirit or the new spirit. So it does not necessarily mean, point one, that you are transformed. It means that you have the availability of transformation. Statement number two. It does not mean that you are another man. It means you have the availability of the other man. You got born again. You still have the old nature, and you have the new nature. And that's why a lot of people fall and stumble and go into sin so soon, because they think the old nature is done away with. Oh, no, you're still going to get mad at your husband just like you did before you got saved. And you're still going to have the availability of a temper just like you had before you got saved. You're going to have the availability of pride just like you had before you got saved. You're going to have the availability of lust just like you did before you got saved. But something happened to you. You now have the availability of true love. You now have the availability of peace. You now have the availability of joy. But you do not necessarily get those when you got saved, The difference in a lost man and a saved man is not that he is saved man is transformed, but he can be transformed if he so chooses. Statement number three. It does not mean that you are a new another creature. It means you have another creature. The same old creature is there, but you have the availability. That means, Bob, if you want to tonight, you can go back and revert to the old life, the old man, and you can act like a heathen acts, and yet you don't have to. You have the choice. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you don't have the choice. If you're not saved tonight, you're just the old man, and you don't have the availability of transformation or the availability of being a new creature. But if you're saved, not only do you have the availability of being a new person, but availability of a new creature. Now then, number four, and don't get your hopes up, we're not half through with the sermon. In fact, number four, in fact, all you get at salvation is eternal life and an availability of a host of things. Now that's a tremendous statement. All you get when you get saved is salvation and the availability of a host of things. I've heard people give testimony, especially this Hollywood kind of charismatic Christianity. Oh, if you let Jesus come in your heart, you'll have the joy of the Lord. Now, that not necessarily is true. You let Jesus come in your heart, and you can have the joy of the Lord. You have the availability of joy. Now, the unsaved man can be happy, which happiness comes from happen. Something may happen to you and make you have some kind of a sensual or a physical enjoyment. But the unsaved man cannot have real joy because it is not available to him. But just the fact that you got saved doesn't give you joy. You get saved, you have eternal life, you're going to heaven, that settles it. But all these other things are simply available to you. I know people in this room tonight who are saved as I am, but they don't have joy. Now, they could have joy, and I'm going to say, as I say so often, if you don't have joy, it's because you decided not to have joy. God says rejoice evermore, and God never gives you a command that you cannot will to obey. If God says rejoice evermore, that means you can choose to rejoice. How do you choose to rejoice? You think on those things that make you happy instead of those things that make you sad. I have a sermon I used to preach and still every once in a while do. I preached it all across the country on Mara or Elam. Mara or Elam. In that sermon, I remind the people that there was a place on the journey of the Israelites, along the first part of the journey, that was called Mara. Now, Mara was a place that was bitter. In fact, the word Mara means bitter. It was a barren place. It was a desert-like place. It was an ugly place. And then there was a place called Elam. Elam was a place that had 70 palm trees. It was a paradise. It was a Palm Beach, Florida, Palm Springs, California. It was a Honolulu, Hawaii. It was a beautiful place. But the truth is, these places were only 7 miles apart. Over here was a beautiful paradise called Elam. Over here was a bitter kind of a desert land called Mara. The water was bitter over here, and the water was sweet over here. There was little foliage or growth over here. There were 70 palm trees over here. It was a barren kind of an armpit of the world over here. It was a gorgeous tropical paradise over here, and they're only 7 miles apart. Now, since they were only 7 miles apart, the Jew could live in one or the other. 7 miles is a little over a two-hour walk. In the army, we walked 3 miles an hour, a little over a two-hour walk. That means tonight that God has given you Mara. If you're bitter, you choose to be bitter, but you don't have to choose that. You can choose to rejoice. You can choose to pout, or you can choose to shout. You can choose to be on discouraged, or you can choose to be encouraged. You can choose to be on the bottom, or you can choose to be on the top. I'm saying that God gives you a command to rejoice and gives you the availability of rejoicing, but you've got to choose to rejoice. And I say it again, you gripers tonight have chosen to be gripers, and you folks are melancholy, have chosen to be melancholy, and you folks are depressed. You don't need a trip to the doctor, you need a trip to Jesus. That's what you need. And you've chosen to be depressed. I'm saying tonight that the availability of joy is to every single believer in the world. Just as you have the availability of transformation when you get saved, You have the availability of another man, the availability of a new creature. I said, all you get at salvation is eternal life and the availability of a multitude of other things. For example, you have availability of contentment after you get saved. So you can be content or not content because it's available. But if you're here tonight and you're dissatisfied with your lot in life, you've chosen to do that because it is an alternative for you to be satisfied with your lot in life. I'm saying that, when you come to Jesus, I've got the joy down in... No, you don't have the joy down in your heart just because you came to Jesus. But you have the availability of joy. And God's people need to realize when God commanded us to be content, that means we can choose to be content. When God commanded us to love, that means we can choose to love. Oh, but you say, Brother House, I'm just not the loving kind. Well, you can choose to be. It's up to you because the availability of love is yours when you get saved. Now follow me carefully. Statement number 5. In Galatians chapter 5, there are two lists. There is a list of the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and so forth. Hatred, variance, malice, strife. That's a list of the works of the flesh. Just a few verses later, you'll find another list. And that is a list of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just, don't turn to it, but let me tell you what I'm talking about. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now that is the work of the flesh. Now an unsaved person only has this. But when you get saved, look here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when you get saved, you don't get love, but you get the availability of love. If you're not saved, all you have is the work of the flesh. If you get saved, you have the availability of love, and you can then choose to love. You have the availability of joy, and you can choose to be happy. You have the availability of presence, and you can choose to be patient, and you can choose to be patient. You have the availability of temperance, and you can choose to be temperate. Now, those things are all available to the child of God when he gets saved. Statement number 6. The battle is begun when you get saved. That battle is between the man you had before you got saved and this other man that you got when you got saved. When you got saved, you got another man. Now then, before you got saved, you could wallow in the cesspool of a nightclub and not worry about it too much. You could wallow in the cesspool of a dirty, stinking, rotten movie house and not worry about it too much. You could wallow in the cesspool of a stinking soap opera and not worry about it too much. But when you got saved, another man came. The other man wants to love. And there's a battle between the hatred of the old man and love of the new man. Between the complaining of the old man and the contentment of the new man. Between the misery of the old man and the joy of the new man. Between the unfaithfulness of the old man and the faithfulness of the new man. There's that constant battle. And it's going on in your life every day. Every day. So you choose. The battle is bigger. Romans chapter 7. Apostle Paul said, that which I would, I do not do. That which I would not, I do. What was Paul saying? He's saying, somebody has been born into my life, a new nature. But the old nature is still there. Statement number 7. You will decide every day which one to put on. Colossians 3:10 says you're supposed to put on the new man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 says put on the new man. Every day when you get up, you have a choice to make. Will you be the first man or the second man? The old man or the new man? And I want to say it again. It's not a circumstantial thing. It is a matter of the will. I'm a happy person. I'm not happy because I haven't got any heartaches. I've got plenty of heartaches. I'm happy because I've chosen to be happy.
I've decided to be happy. I'm a contented person. I've always been contented. I've never wanted anything I don't have. I've never coveted anything. I have not prayed one prayer in years for myself. Well, I prayed one prayer for myself in all these years. I'm saying I'm contented. But I'm not contented because I've got all I would want if I lived over here. I'm contented because, bless your heart, I have chosen to be contented. I challenge you tonight. Choose to put on the new man and have joy. Choose to put on the new man and have contentment. Choose to put on the new man and have praise. Choose to put on the new man and have love. You have the choice every day of your life. I said, number one, it does not mean that you're transformed. It means you have the availability of transformation. I said, number two, it does not mean that you are another man. You have the availability of another man. I said, it does not mean that you are another creature, but you have the availability of another creature. I said, all you get at salvation is eternal life and the availability of a host of things, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, kind, all of that, the Bible says. I said, number five, in Galatians 5, there are two lists, the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. An unsaved person has only the works of the Spirit, flesh, and the saved person has both. I said, number six, the battle is begun. I said, number seven, you will decide every day whether you put on the old man and complain and spew and fret and are depressed and down the dumps and melancholy, or put on the new man and praise and shout and rejoice and bless God and be happy in the Lord. It's up to you. I'll bind you this. The people in this room tonight who are the happiest, I would not be surprised at all if they don't have more burdens than the people that are the saddest. You line all the people up over here that are grouches and all the people over here that are praising God, I would be willing to wager, if I were a betting man. I'll tell you somebody who is wagering, that woman up there is marrying a dice. What a gamble to marry a dice. And ain't no paradise either, but anyway. If I were a betting man tonight, I would bet you that the people who are praising God tonight have an accumulative more burdens than the folks that aren't praising God. So it's not the circumstance. It is not the happenings of life. It is not the burdens you bear. It is your decision. It's up to you. Make up your mind. I choose to be happy. I choose contentment. I choose joy. I choose love. I don't choose to be a crab. I choose to encourage people. I don't choose to be just depressed. I choose to be on the top side. It's your choice. It's only 7 miles from Mara to Elam, and you can choose where you want to live. Number eight, either can become a habit. Follow me carefully. Terrible illustration. Corny, but good. I wear patent leather shoes most all the time. I used to say they were sissy. But I decided I'd rather be a sissy and not shine my shoes than be a he-man and have to shine them all the time. All I got to do to shine my shoes is that. That's all I got to do. Doesn't cost $3 and a tip. But I have an old pair. Now, when you get my age, your feet are a problem. You notice older people. Every old person I know has got a foot problem. Right, Mabel? Does she have a foot problem?
Yeah.
I told you. That proves it. And for her, it's a big problem. And you get older, you break in a pair of shoes. I've got a pair of patent leather shoes that came off the leather of the animals on the ark. They are comfortable. The other day, Brother John Stansel down in Murfreesboro sent me this pair of shoes. Brand spanking new. Now, I was going to wear them. But the truth is, every day I intended to put on these new ones, but by force of habit, I put on the old ones. And every morning, every night, I'd say, tomorrow morning, I'm going to wear my new shoes. But I'd put on the old shoes by force of habit. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm going to read the Bible tomorrow. But by force of habit, you don't. I'm going to spend some time praying tomorrow, but by force of habit, you don't. So, I finally one day decided to put these shoes on. And ladies and gentlemen, they hurt. I wore them for the first time last Sunday, and I went home. I was so tired, I couldn't figure out why I was tired. And I said to Miss Hiles, I'm just worn out tonight. And I don't ever get tired like this. I'm as tired as an old man would be after you preached a couple of times. I was tired, and I couldn't figure out why. Got ready for bed, took off my shoes, and I felt great. Now, why? Because the new shoes were a little bit uncomfortable at first. And you coming over here and loving instead of hating will be a tad uncomfortable at first. And you're shouting instead of pouting will be a tad uncomfortable at first. But you say, I'm not the shouting type. God said, put on. Put on. Just put on. You say, but the house, you believe in putting on? Yeah. In fact, everybody here puts on. Not a person here by nature loves. You got to put on love. Put it on. Put it on. And you put on those old shoes, boy, it felt good. But now then, I've worn these shoes all week long, and they feel pretty good now. You'd be amazed after you've prayed. At first, you say, oh, how can I pray for 30 minutes? What in the world will I say? By the time you pray for all the missionaries in all the countries of the world, what's left over? It'll be uncomfortable for a while. But you, listen, you put on that new man, and after a while, you'll be just as adjusted to him as you were the old man. Because the more you wear the old man, the more you're going to be like the old nature. The more you put on the new man, the more you'll be like the new nature. You put on the man every day. And by the way, it can become a habit. Put on the new heart every day. It can become a habit. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are times I get a little discouraged, but I don't recall when they were. Because I put on happiness every morning just like I put on these shoes. I put on happiness every morning just like I put on my truss. I mean, it's just a natural thing. I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth. I don't say, now shall I brush my teeth? When I was a boy, I did. I said, shall I brush my teeth? And I heard a voice in the other room saying, you shall. Now then, I get up in the morning, I go right straight to the bathroom. I weigh. I'm going to break that habit if I can. But I weigh. I brush my teeth. I wash my face. I shave. I place my hair. I sculpture my hair. Now, that's just by force of habit. I do it. Now, just as sure as I get up and brush my teeth, I put on joy. I decide every day it's going to be a happy day. I decide, you sit with the house. How do you know what happens? My happiness doesn't depend on what happens. Oh, I like to see these folks in the front row wake up and I grab this mic right here like this. I decide to be contented. Over the house, how do you know that the furnace is not going to break? I'm going to be happy if the furnace breaks. Let's have Ms. Hiles fix it. I have another man. He is available to me. I choose every day whether to live over here with hatred and malice and anger and variance and strife and fornication and a dirty mind and dirty thoughts, or come over here and live with joy and peace and happiness and praise. I have two men. I'm not going to live for the old nature. Bless God. I'm going to live for the new nature. Now, let me tell you how to do it. I'll tell you how I did it. When I was in the Army, Brother Tom, you were in the Army. When I was in the Army, I saw I was going to have a battle. I saw that I was away from home. I was in the barracks. Had temptations. I could get homesick, blue, discouraged, down the dumps. I could complain. I decided I was going to pull the new man every morning. I got me two caps. I wore around the barracks. They wouldn't let me wear them outside, but two caps. On one, I wrote the words "new man." On the other, I wrote the words "old man." Every morning they got up. Now the new man, joy, peace, happiness. Every morning I got up, I put on the cap that said "new man." I'd walk around the barracks with a sign, "new man." I put him on. And when I put that sign up, "new man," the soldiers in my barracks said, "What does that mean, Hiles?" They called me Slim in those days. Oh, for that one more time. "Hey, Slim, what does that mean?" I said, "That means I'm a Christian. I got two natures, the old man and the new man. And I want to live like the new man. I want to be happy. I want to praise. I want to rejoice. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. I want to be loving. I want to be kind." Now, when I told those fellows that, what it meant when I had that hat on, I had to be kind. Because I told them. Now, one day, a guy called my wife a bad name. Here he is over here. He called my wife a bad name. I said, "You wait right here." And I beat the living devil out of him. Back over here and took my... Boy, you love it when I get the old nature, don't you? Now, Brother House, I'm a Christian, but I don't have joy. But one day I'll be in heaven. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's miserable now. Not me, Buster. No, sir. I'm looking for the destination, but I'm enjoying the trip. You know why? I'll tell you why. I have chosen to put on the new man. I have two natures, the other man and the old man. And I'm not going to live for this guy. I'm going to live for this guy right here. And it's time some of you decided to put on the new man every morning. Another man. The difference in happy people here in this room and unhappy people is that the happy man has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between contented people and discontented people in this room tonight is that the contented man has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference tonight between the loving person and the unloving person is that the loving person has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between the clean person and the unclean mind is tonight is that the clean person's put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between the Bible reader tonight and the one who does not read the Bible is that the Bible reader has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between the man that prays regularly and the man that doesn't pray regularly is that the fellow who prays regularly has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between the Bible reader and the fellow who's not a regular Bible reader is because the Bible reader has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. The difference between the person who witnesses and the person that doesn't witness is the witness has put on the new man so long it's become a habit. But as sure as putting on the new man can become a habit, putting on the old man can become a habit. You just put that old man on and be discontented and complain. Now you listen carefully to me. You college wives who are living up in an attic, fellowshipping with the rats, mice, cockroaches, you're discontented not because of where you live, but because you're a discontented person. A couple over there. I wish you could see their house. I was there. Their commode flushes once every 3 months. That's what it looked like anyway. Lizards on the ceiling. Did you hear him say tonight that the snakes crawl in there? He gets up to go to the bowl, to go to the bathroom at night, may step on a snake. Shoot. I'd come back to America, let the Philippines go on to Hades, brother. Ain't no way. I mean, no way. I'll suffer anything but snakes. I don't belong to the Snakes for Jesus Club. I know some snakes, but I don't. That little couple right there, the hiding ranks, I promise you, there's not a person in this room tonight who lives in the type circumstances they live in. I promise you that the college wife that has the most meager place, apartment tonight, has luxury compared to what they have. Lizards on their ceiling, snakes on the floor, and yet they're contented. Why? Contentment is not a state of existence, but a state of mind. The difference between a loving person and an unloving person tonight, the person that is unloving is because he's put on the old man for so long, it's become a habit to him. The difference between a person who's clean and unclean because somebody's watched the soap opera so long it's become a habit. Somebody's looked at the Sports Illustrated magazine bathing suit issue. And by the way, they'll make popsicles in Hades or popsicles in Hades, popsicles, something. They'll make snow cones in Hades before I'll read a Sports Illustrated magazine. I'm not talking about just the swimsuit edition. I'm talking about all the editions. But the reason some of you guys have got to look at the naked women and got to go to some motel and turn on the HBO and the Showtime and movie channel is because you have put on that old man so long, it's become a habit. And some of you ladies have put on the old man so long that it's become a habit for you to be a grouch and a nag and a gossip. I wouldn't give you a dime for Tim LaHaye's temperaments. Not a dime. Yeah. I'm just phlegmatic. I'll do the preaching, Roy. I'm just phlegmatic. Phlegm's something you have when you have a cold. Melancholic. That's what Depper is. Body shaped like a melon, or head like a melon, face like a collie. I'm sick and tired of... Listen, it's no difference... And I'm not preaching now, I'm just having fun. There's no difference. There is no difference in the psychologist who says, because your grandfather ate too many cucumbers, you got a stomachache. And the fellow that says to you, you're just that type. Let me tell you something. Every single Christian in the world can be happy if he chooses to. Every single Christian in the world can be contented if he chooses to. You folks sit there and criticize these people, get up and holler glory every once in a while. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to get up and holler glory, but you leave them alone. And don't breathe on them, they'll get like you. I'm not saying everybody has to jump up and holler glory and amen, but I'm saying somewhere in your life, whether it's alone in the bathroom or in front of folks at church, or whether it's standing out here on the corner of Sibley and Oakley Street, there'll be some time in your life you get so happy you just say, well, glory. Well, praise the Lord. And you can do it so long until... Look, do you see what I did? Huh? I don't have to do it again. You do it once. God said to Saul, I'm going to make you another man. But let me remind you that Saul still had the old one, and the other old one surfaced when Saul decided to put it on. When David was anointed king as a lad, he was not yet the king, but someday he would be the king. Saul got worried. Saul shouldn't have been worried. David wouldn't have been the king until Saul's time was over. But David became the object of jealousy for Saul. What did Saul do? He chose not to become this other man, but what he used to be. When Saul took that javelin and hurled it toward David, he had put on the old man. The thing that God had done was given Saul a choice. The availability of the old man or the new man. The old nature or the new nature. A choice. And I say tonight, anybody in this room can live for the new man if you so choose. Put him on every morning. You say, well, brother, how do you put him on? That you do. Get up here, get up tomorrow morning, look out when it's below zero, and feel that heat coming out of your vent. You get walk out of here tonight when it's cold and below zero, and feel that coat. Stop and think when you wake up in the morning that the angel of the Lord has been camping around about you all night long. I just got that brown taste in the morning. I just can't wait till I get that coffee. I gotta get that coffee. Oh, just put on the new man. And then get the coffee. The new man has degrees of happiness. The new man with coffee is happier than the new man without coffee. Hey, folks, it's cold outside. It's below zero. Let's just sort of stay here and stay warm a while and rejoice. It's a pretty poor commentary. And we Baptist people can't get happier because we're secure than the charismatics can because they're holding on. It's up to you. God said, Saul, I'm going to make you another man. You're going to become another man. That doesn't mean that the old man's gone. He's going to become the new man, but the old man's still back here to hound him. But Saul has his choice. Bless his heart, he chose far too soon to lapse back and live as the old man. Ask you a question. What did you put on this morning? I don't mean what you're talking about. Oh, shut up. What did you put on? Which man did you put? No. Did you ladies take the old man or the new man this morning? Did you choose the new heart or the old heart? Look at me, fellas. Did you choose the new spirit or the old spirit? People say to me, and I don't know why they say it. They say, Brother Howes, for your age. Well, what do you mean for my age? They say, I hope I can have the good spirit you got when I get your age. I always say, how about the age you are? I'm 35. When I get your age, I hope I can have as good spirit as you do. Well, you haven't got as good spirit 35 as I have. You think that I like to kick over a microphone? No, I don't. You think I like to jump? I'm old, man. I choose to kick over a microphone. I choose excitement. I choose to be excited. I choose to be contented. I choose to praise God. I choose to be happy. I choose to be on top side. I choose the fruit of the Spirit, which came when the new man came, the other man came, and not the works of the flesh that are still there trying to invade this guy over here. Up to you. Well, that's nice. I think I got chemical imbalance. That's the way the doctor's making money off you. My mama had a way of taking a whip and daddy's razor strap and balancing my chemicals beautifully. If I had a thyroid disorder, that razor strap took care of it. We had a peach tree in the backyard at 3936 Denley Drive in Dallas, Texas. Mama used those limbs on that peach tree to trim those leaves off and whack me across the legs. That peach tree was there for years, never bore peach. But it bore a preacher. Well, I've got I think some of those other diseases we didn't have, but used to have. I've got what? Attention deficit? That's what you got. There's another word for that disease called sleeping in church. We never heard of vitamins. We didn't know what a cholesterol count was. We didn't know cholesterol could count. We didn't know. But my little mama, I quit preaching a long time ago. You probably remember when I did. My little mama, in a little shack of a house, two rooms, in a servant's house behind a house that wouldn't be as nice as you live in tonight. I mean, the main house wouldn't be as nice as where you live tonight. Little shack of a house, an outhouse in the backyard, 40 feet behind. You talk about miserable. You think you got it rough going to the bathroom stepping on a snake. You wait till it gets down to zero and there's snow on the ground, you got to go 40 feet out in the backyard with kerosene lamps for light and wood stoves for heat and the windows stuffed with newspapers. My little mama chose to be happy. And my little mama chose to be contented. And my little mama chose to praise the Lord. And my little mama chose to have joy. Don't misunderstand me. We're talking about my sister and my daughter and I were talking the other day about my mother. In a matter of a few years, my mother lost her mother in death. Then she went to live with her grandmother, and in a few months her grandmother died, which means she lost two mothers in just a matter of a few months. I did not know this the other day, but my mother also lost a little sister when she was a girl. I didn't know this till my sister told me. My sister's 25 years older than I am, and she remembers a lot of stuff I don't remember. They're not laughing, Arlene. They think it's true. My mother lost her mother when she was nine. Not when her mother was nine, but when she was nine. She lost her second mother, her grandmother that was rearing her. She lost her little sister. And her sister was about 9 or 10 years of age when she died, so I think you understand. Then she got married and had a baby and lost that first child. And then she had a second baby and lost the second child. Five deaths in the immediate family. And she's hardly out of her teenage years. Just a young lady. But my mother was happy. Very happy. You say, well, what made her happy? The new man. The new person. The new creature. The new nature. She chose to be happy. My mother chose not to make a wood stove take her joy. My mother chose to not let a kerosene lamp take her joy. My mother chose not to have an outhouse, and if anything will take your joy, it's an outhouse. My mother chose not to let an outhouse and a Sears Roebuck catalog take her joy. No, we didn't read it. My mother chose not to let a drunkard husband take her joy. My mother chose not to let a depression take her joy. My mother chose not to let bankruptcy and losing a little grocery store in the depression take her joy. My mother even chose not to let Earlene take her joy. Of course, when I came along, she didn't have to choose because it was all joy then. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has made for you another man, another person, a new creature. And God said to Saul, you're going to become another man, but you still got the old one back there. Ask a question. I'm going to close. Which one did you put on this morning? Which one you have on right now? You ought to resolve. Get you a hat. Put new man on it. Put it on every morning. Wear it at the breakfast table. It'd make you look better. Write old man on the other one and don't put it on unless somebody cusses your wife. You got my permission to put it on. It's up to you. Every student that backslid and went home. Those are synonymous. Was wearing the hat, said old man on it. Every dissatisfied wife who's here has a sign, says the old man on it. It's the old man's fault. I'm having an awful hard time closing this sermon. Can you think of a sad story? I'd like to close this sermon. But it's up to you. I'm 69 years of age. I got a lot of reasons why tonight I could go home and cry myself to sleep. I choose not to do it. I choose to go home and think how good God's been to me. I choose to think of those 1 million people that have walked the aisle in my services in these years I've been preaching. I choose to think of the 800,000 folks who've walked the aisles in churches I've pastored. I choose to think of the 200,000 people or so been baptized in my churches. I choose to think of my 800 preacher boys scattered around the world tonight. I choose to think of Steve Heidenreich and others all over the world, missionaries all over the world that sat in this auditorium. It's up to you. You can become a happy, delightful, optimistic, joyous, contented person if you'll put on the new nature every day. And do it, and do it, and do it, and do it, till before you know it, you'll be so, just like a pair of shoes. You'll be so adjusted. Now, I'm so adjusted to these shoes right now, I didn't even think about putting the old ones on this morning because I've been putting these on all week. And you put on the new nature, and put on the new nature, and put on the new nature, and before you know it, it'll be by force of habit. I almost called this sermon tonight, How to Become a Grouch. The way you become a grouch is put on the old nature every morning and keep on doing it. It becomes a habit. And you become a grouch. Or you can become a happy, joyous, delightful, contented, optimistic, topside child of God. The sun is always shining. If you just keep on putting on that new man and put him on and put him on and put him on and put him on, till eventually it'll just be about force of habit. Would you bow your heads, please?